Welcome to Alternative Dog Moms Podcast. I'm Kimberly Gauthier, the creator of Keep the Tail Wagging. For the past 9 years, I've been blogging about raw feeding, pet wellness, and life as a crazy dog mom. I've seen massive improvements in my dog's health since I started raising my dogs naturally, and I'm passionate about sharing my experience to help other pet parents.
I'm Erin Scott. For the past 9 years, I've been researching and learning everything I can about healing cancer, allergies, autoimmune, and mystery illnesses in both my dogs and myself. And I can't wait to share with you everything I've learned on this journey. As the Alternative Dog Moms, we're bringing you all the latest dog health news that we're following and sharing the tips, tricks, and resources we learn along the way. Now, let's get started. Hello, Kimberly.
Hello, Erin.
How are you today?
I'm doing really good.
Yeah.
Doing really good. Yeah, enjoying life. Sitting in this room, hearing the dogs like they're outside the door. Most likely, Apollo's leaning up against the door, and every now and then he'll probably stick his nose underneath and sniff really obnoxiously loudly.
I miss Penny. You know, she was my recording buddy. She would always be hanging out in here. But Nino does not like to be in here when I'm recording. Even if Tim's not home, he has to keep an eye on outside. He has to make sure, you know, there's no delivery people trying to break into the house or anything, you know. So yeah, but right now he's curled up with Tim out there. Yeah, he is definitely not my recording buddy.
I know what you mean. I was talking to someone, a friend of mine. She's local. I have a new friend, Kendra. She has a dog on Instagram. Is it Rango the Wonder Dog? I should find that out because, yeah, Rango the Wonder Dog. This is a poodle, a boy poodle that is true royalty. I mean, I love this dog so much. He is, I think, 12 years old, does not look it. He looks like maybe he might be 4 years old. He's beautiful and sweet and smart. And he came over. Well, they came over because we went in on an order of pork kidneys. And so she was bringing me my share. So I brought out Apollo and Bellas for a play date. And it was so cute because Bella was just enamored and followed him everywhere. And Apollo just followed because he kept marking everything. And so Apollo was going through and marking it too. But it was just so sweet and just the most gorgeous dog ever. Gosh, dogs are so amazing. But anyway, he just reminded me so much. I don't know why. Not that he didn't look like her or act like her, but he just reminded me of Sydney. And I think it was because of the bond between him and Kendra was so close that I was just like, oh, I miss my Sid.
Aw.
Yeah, the way it goes.
Well, I actually got to meet one of our listeners yesterday. So shout out to Stacy, who lives in Mount Airy, Maryland. And she had contacted me because she had purchased the Dog Health Journal, and it helped her figure out what was causing her dog's stomach issues. Nice. And it turned out it was a certain brand of food. And she was like, well, I have all this food now. Like, do you want it? And it's a food that Nino does well on. Mm-hmm. So she came down to the town where I work, and she got to meet the owner of the dog food store where I shop. And she gave me like 20 pounds of dog food.
Oh, nice.
And I got to meet her little corgi guy, and we had a really nice time yesterday afternoon. And she had been listening to our episode with Dr. Marsden on the way there. And so it was really cool. So shout out to Stacy.
Oh, that is so, so amazing. So speaking of Marsden, did you place an order?
No, not yet. I want to talk to my vet first.
I did place an order, and I can't remember which ones I ordered. I can look it up, but I don't feel like it. But I know that they were, both of them were related to joints.
Oh, Lumbrex and I think Voltrex. Those were the ones I was looking at.
Yeah, because I figure I'll give those a try. I know that Rodrigo's just not a fan of supplements, and it's really hard for me to get stuff in his body. And so I know it's not popular for a lot of people, but peanut butter is my friend. Mm. So a lot of times when I do supplements, he just gets a dollop of peanut butter with the pills in it. And that way he'll eat it. I've done it with butter before. Mm-hmm. And sometimes he'll take it. Sometimes he won't. He will not with coconut oil. it's funny because he goes off and on. He doesn't mind MCT oil, but he doesn't really, he's not really a fan of coconut oil. So peanut butter, I have one of those, you know, no xylitol, natural peanut butter. And he does pretty good on that, taking that.
Yeah, we rotate between all natural peanut butter, almond butter, and butter. With Nino, it's mostly his thyroid pill because he has to get that on like an empty stomach. Mm-hmm. But I have to like wrap it in something, so yeah. I usually, you know, do sort of an ugly DIY pill pockety thing with like one of those things. And actually, Tim does it most of the time. So
yeah, because I've tried it with hot dogs, and it just doesn't. It's not the same. He. I don't know. It just doesn't work out. And if he bites into the hot dog and then he tastes the pill, then he's just not going to eat the hot dog anymore because then he's going to be sniffing around. Like, is there something hidden in here? Whereas with the peanut butter, it just goes straight down his throat because I put it in his mouth and then I let him lick the spoon. Yeah. So while the pills are going down his throat, he's licking the spoon. And sometimes I think he's like, oh, she got me. But he's just like, oh, it's too late now. Because it's just, he's so funny. It's like I was giving him, because he hasn't been feeling well, what is it called? Slippery Elm.
Yeah.
And he will not lick that on his own. So I either mix it with, I mixed it with peanut butter, but it has to be the right consistency of peanut butter. And I have to mix it really, really,
really
well.
Really good. Yeah. So that, one hint is you can store it upside down. And then that way, when you turn it up, you know, turn it right side up, like the oil has gone to
bottom.
So, yeah. So we store ours upside down. So that way you always get the gloppy stuff right on top rather than all the oil.
That's nice. So, yeah. So that was, he's so particular. That's why most of his supplements are liquid, because he will just handle a liquid supplement. And if I have to, I can sneak it into his mouth really quickly and it's done. We're done. And you don't have to worry about it. But I try not to do that except for with the CBD oil. But he's doing pretty good.
Yeah. How's he feeling now?
He's feeling better. He hasn't had a stool yet. So I'm hopeful that that means that next time he has one, it'll be solid. And we got a full night's sleep last night. So that was lovely.
That's always a good thing.
Yes. And so I'm hoping for another one of that. He's eating. And a friend of mine contacted me, Thomas Sandberg, and told me, he's like, well, this is what you need to do. Stop feeding him. Stop giving him vegetables. You know, fast him for 24 hours and just give him colloidal silver. And I would have done that if we were already on our way to healing. And it's like, I would. So if this happens again, I'll definitely do that. Also, I'm fairly certain it was just a reaction to something that he ate. So once that's out of his diet, then it's not going to be a problem anymore. And so I just needed to get him to heal his gut. And so I continue giving him the PEA from Dr. Judy Morgan, because it's supposed to be light on the gut and fights inflammation. And I was giving him the love bugs from Adored Beast, because that's a pre and probiotic. And so mixing those into his meals, and
colostrum, that would be a good one if you have any of that.
Yeah. Just keeping his gut. I mean, that was just the worst part, is that, you know, you could tell that his gut was so inflamed and so uncomfortable that I just wanted to get him better. And I gave him, I was at the grocery store at 5 a.m. I was actually at the grocery store at 4:30 a.m. because I thought it was open 24 hours a day, but I forgot, since the pandemic, they stopped those hours.
Oh.
So I got there and I'm like, why isn't the door, you know, like the automatic doors, why isn't the door opening? And it's because they were still closed. And then I was like, well, I didn't want to sit in the parking lot for 30 minutes. So I was like, I'll just drive down to the other location. And by the time I drive down there, I'll listen to my radio and it'll be 5:00. But then I missed the exit because I am not a morning person, definitely not a 4:30 a.m.
Oh,
person.
Oh my gosh.
So it was so painful for me to, I eventually got his turkey, but it was so painful to get it done. And so we have one more packet of ground turkey in the fridge that I'm going to cook up tonight for tomorrow. And yeah.
Oh, this poor guy. The lengths we go to for these dogs.
I know.
Well, I've been having a funny poop conversation with Tim because we've been doing more of the turkey necks and the other bone, raw meaty bones for Nino. And his, of course, some of his poops have been like white and it like really freaked him out. And I had to like show him all kinds of evidence that that was okay. We didn't need to like, contact the vet or anything.
Hey, quick question for you. Are you someone who wants to be fit, healthy, and happy? And what if I told you you could get your dream body by simply just listening to a podcast? I'm Josh.
And I'm KG, and we are the hosts of the Fit, Healthy, and Happy podcast.
Listen, we get it. Fitness isn't easy. Carbs, no carbs.
Just stop, okay? It doesn't have to be that complicated. And that's why we made this podcast. We get straight to the facts so you can become your best you.
So the way to check us out is click the link in the show notes or search Fit, Healthy, and Happy podcast on any of the major podcast platforms. We'll see you soon.
I know it's funny because the poops go white so quickly that it's, you know, it's like you hardly have to clean up the yard. I still do anyway because it's just a habit, but it's just like, this is nice. The only problem is that there are times when I don't have the variety that I want and nothing's thought out. And I'm learning who can have what.
Yeah.
So duck necks are too rich for some reason for Zoe. It wasn't.
Well, they are very fatty.
Yeah. It wasn't in the past, but now they're just too much. So I cannot give her duck necks. The other dogs can have it. Quail is great, but it's super expensive here. So we're going through our last bit of quail. And I found chicken at a local store and they'll chop it up. But they don't have it consistently. Whenever they do have it, I buy every packet. And by every, it's like three packets. But I did discover Cornish game hens.
Yeah.
So they're small enough where I can quickly chop them up and I just split them between the dogs. I'll split two Cornish game hens between all four dogs in their meals. And that works out pretty good too.
Yeah, we've been doing, Nina, I'm going to try the chicken backs with him again. He got weird about chicken, but he does. He likes the beef ribs. He likes the turkey necks. He definitely likes the chicken feet. And I'm like, dude, if you eat the chicken feet, you can eat the chicken the rest of it.
Yeah, we do duck feet, but yeah, it's just like, you know, I don't know. I thought it would be so much easier, and it is. It's just a matter of finding everything that we need because I didn't realize that there isn't a whole lot of, you know, quote unquote, raw meaty bones available through the co-op.
Yeah.
You know, there are items, but I never, you know, really thought much of it. I think the one that I loved, I used to give to my dogs years ago, were duck frames, but it's such a huge case of them. And I could split it with someone else, but I can go through them, but I have to make room for them in the freezer. And of course, and they're the things that I feed my dogs outside. So it's not a year round thing. It's just so much easier for me to get something that I can chop up.
Yeah, I've been hearing it about how much freezer space I'm taking up right now. Because we just have our regular old fridge and freezer. I keep trying to lobby to get like a small chest freezer, but it would mean we'd have to get rid of basically our kitchen table.
Yeah.
Which we don't actually use for like eating or anything. We stack all our laundry on it. But I haven't been able to talk him into getting rid of it yet. I did all this research. I thought I presented a very good argument, but I've been overruled so far.
Yeah. So I came across something really interesting today. I was researching a supplement. You know, I'm taking this course, this Feed Real course. And I'm actually taking a bit of a break from it because it's so much information that I feel like I need to, before I actually finish it, go back and reread the first three segments that I've completed because it's just an information dump and I just can't retain all of it. And so I'm taking a break and then I'm going to go back and start all over and then I'll do the latter half and then I'll take the final. But anyway, I was thinking about, you know, water soluble and fat soluble vitamins. And I knew that there was a vitamin C supplement. I'm sure there's several vitamin C supplements for dogs. But I was just playing around reading reviews of different things. And I came across a review from someone who was just saying, why are you guys giving your dogs vitamin C? And explaining that your dogs can produce this. You don't need to supplement your dogs for this. And one thing that I was interested in, Rodrigo, it's because I kicked him out of the room. So he's just going to sit out there and bark. But one thing that I noticed when I was reading other reviews was either they couldn't tell that something helped. They thought that maybe it was helping, or their dog had a bad reaction to the supplement. And it made me wonder, why are people giving their dogs this supplement? And is it because it's supposed to support the immune system? And so they're just going to go ahead and get this. And is it really doing enough? Because since it's a water-soluble vitamin, your dog is going to just urinate it out, any excess. And if you're using it to fight cancer, because that's where I've heard that people will do vitamin C infusions.
Yeah, I think that's, yeah, in like IV though, yeah.
Exactly. And I was wondering if people were like, well, I'm not going to do that, but I can at least do this, and this will keep my dog from getting cancer. But it's actually just wasting their money because there's, well, one, no evidence that a supplement would prevent cancer. Two, it's not true. I mean, it is a portion of vitamin C, but it's not the full vitamin C. So it doesn't have the other things in, you know, like for instance, in an orange or any other food that's rich in vitamin C, it doesn't have all of the other, I guess you would call it full spectrum. It doesn't have everything else that works with it that makes the vitamin C so effective, because they've just isolated the vitamin C out of it.
Like the synergy is not there.
Exactly. And I went down this rabbit hole just in my brain of how many supplements are people buying for their dogs, thinking that they're really doing something, but not really understanding that, yeah, this isn't doing what you think it's going to do. I mean, it's probably not hurting your dog, but it's probably really not helping your dog either.
Oh, yeah. I'm pretty sure that's like most of them. Especially, you know, like I'm really picky about like the brands of things that I'll use. And, you know, there's a reason for that, because so many of them have like fillers and, you know, that kind of stuff in it that I wouldn't want my dog to have. So maybe the supplement itself would be good, but they're putting a bunch of like fillers in it that kind of negate it, or that your dog has a bad reaction to the filling, you know, the filler stuff. So with the Feed Real course, does that talk about the vitamin C at all?
It does talk about the vitamin C, but not really in depth. I think that what's interesting is, like, I love this course. It's so much fun and the information is so interesting. And as I've explained, it really starts making you think about what we're doing and if, you know, what's beneficial, what's not beneficial. So I think it's definitely such a valuable course. It's just that when it talks about vitamin C, it's talking about vitamin C along with all the other water-soluble and fat-soluble vitamins. It's not like it's a section that's very much focused on just maybe all water-soluble vitamins, for instance. So it's so much. One thing that I don't get when it comes to the Feed Real course is how anyone is taking this and then calling themselves an animal nutritionist. I don't agree with that. And it may not be a popular stance. I think that there are some people who are taking all different types of courses and they're reading books and they're just like, this is something that they're super interested in. So they're really diving deep into this. And this is just one piece of the puzzle of their education. But for anyone who is, even like with the Kasi course, I've looked at it, but I've never taken it. But when I think about when I was in college, like if this were a course that was a college course, if this was the certification was, you know, part of a college course, it would follow many courses on nutrition. It wouldn't just be one course on nutrition. And now here's the test. Yay, you're certified. I mean, maybe you would do, well, no, because I think about, like, for instance, sitting for my CPA, I would do that after 4 years of college.
I think it's 5 for CPA.
Is it? I mean, it's just like, but it's like you have so much information and education that you're going through before you sit for that certification. And so I kind of feel like, I think that definitely people should take it. And I think, you know, I am enjoying learning about it, but I honestly would not feel comfortable sitting down with someone as an expert and advising them on what to do with their dog, only because, and this is a conversation I had with a couple of people recently, you know, a lot of, I know one person I spoke to, I can't remember the other person, but they made such a great point. Animal nutrition is about health. And so where do you draw the line of practicing medicine without a license? Because how we eat and our food and our diets, that's part of medicine. And we as humans, I mean, yeah, we can go to some nutritionist, but most likely we will maybe get a recommendation from a doctor, or we'll go to someone who has some type of medical experience because we're looking at nutrition. Maybe for some people it's just like, oh, I just want to get healthier. But if you're actually looking at nutrition to cure a disease or something like that, you're probably going to go the medical route. But then again, I don't know how many doctors have that knowledge.
Well, that's what I was going to say, right? Like, so when you look at like the conventional medical establishment, whether for human or veterinary, I don't think they have the information that's truly needed to connect the dots between diet and health. And so people do start going all these alternative routes. I mean, how, like, you know, for people health, like health coach and, you know, diet coach is, you know, that's a whole industry online of people. And I guess the way that I would look at it is sort of like it's on us as like the consumer, you know, whether it's for our own health or for our dog's health, to like, just because somebody says, oh, I'm a nutritionist, like, well, what does that mean? You know, and I'm not saying you shouldn't work with any of the people, because veterinary nutritionists are few and far between. And a lot of the ones who are registered veterinary nutritionists are registered through like the Purina School of Veterinary Nutrition, you know? And it's like, well, that's not going to help what I think is real health from diet. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I feel bad for us as people, as well as for us as pet parents who want to do the right thing. And I think us trying to educate ourselves ends up, I mean, that's essentially what, you know, you and I have tried to do, right? Yeah. Like,
it's just, I don't think I mean, I knew that it was a lot of information. I'm just blown away by, because it's not just about, okay, well, here's the macronutrients, here's the micronutrients, here's some, you know, the different vitamins. It's about how they work together and how, well, if you feed this, you know, you need to also feed something that's high in this, because these two nutrients work together to do this. And keeping all of that straight, I mean, for me, I find the information very valuable. But definitely, if I were to even consider helping someone with their dog's diet, I would do it along with, you know, the Animal Diet Formulator software and just constant reading. I honestly think that, like other certificates, you should go back and re-up on it. That's why I'm sort of taking my time going through it and re-reading each segment. Oh, but this is kind of cool. So I decided to take one of the segments, just like to skim it and then take the test to see what would happen. I failed. but then I wanted to see if, because you can take the test as many times as you want within a segment. So I wanted to see, what can I just see the answers that I got wrong and then get them right the next time? So can I cheat the system? And no, you can't, because they shake up the questions. I mean, a lot of the questions were duplicates, but those were the ones that I got right. So that didn't really help me very much. But that was pretty cool, was that it's not like you can't just go through and cheat your way into a certification. You do have to really know the information.
Well, that's good to know.
But I tried.
Well, that you're like testing out all the potential flaws in the system, and yeah, you're doing a service.
It's my job.
Oh, have we talked about the Real Dog Summit yet?
No, I don't think we have. So that is in October.
Yeah, October 14th.
There's a lot happening around that time because there's AHVMA. There's another.
The spa event. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot going on during that time.
Yeah.
And I'm actually excited because I'll be going to the spa event and I'll be going to the Feed Reel event as well.
That's like twice in the same month traveling.
I know. I know.
Well, I have a conflict with the spa event, but I'm trying to work it out to do the San Diego trip. And at least that's a direct flight from BWI. So I can do that.
I know. That's what I love is that it's just both of them are like a couple hour flight. And it'll be I can fly down, learn something, and come right on back home. And it's not that big of a deal. It's been so long since I've traveled anywhere, so it'll be fun. I mean, I went down to San Diego last year, but for the most part, I've just been a homebody.
Yeah, other than those trips to Albany, although we are going to the beach this year, so I'm excited about that.
Are you taking Nino?
Yeah, yeah. He'll be completely miserable in the car the whole time. But he'll just have to deal with it. He's done it before, and he gets weirded out because, you know, it's a different place than our house, but he likes the fact that we're like there 24/7. Mm-hmm. And he likes going on the beach and sniffing things and peeing on horseshoe crabs and all that kind of stuff. So he doesn't want any parts of the water though. I mean, he acts like the water, you know, is trying to kill him. Like if it touches his foot, he's like, oh my God.
I love it when dogs are so prissy like that.
Yeah, he's very, very particular. And this weekend we have Nino's big day out. Like it's like every other month we try to schedule all his appointments. So he'll go see like the chiropractor in the morning and then the vet in the afternoon. And, you know, he's so miserable the whole time, but I'm like, dude, like 99% of your life, you just get to hang out at home. Like every once in a while, we got to make sure you're still healthy.
Yeah. I know I need to start scheduling everyone's blood work coming soon because I usually dread it. Zoe does pretty good. Rodrigo throws in it and he acts like they're killing him and he's screaming and stuff. And then he comes out like all like, oh, so how's it going with you? Like as if nothing happened. And I'm just like, I'm so sorry. So I have to take him in and Apollo's never had blood work done. So I don't know how he'll behave. And Bella's young. I think I could probably skip her this year, but she does need to go and have her 1 year boosters. So we'll get that done soon.
Will you have like a vaccine detox protocol for her?
Yes. Yes. I always start 2 weeks before vaccinations. I start with, it's basically a milk thistle supplement, but it's called Hepatosupport by Rx Vitamins. I'll start adding that to her diet every day 2 weeks before. And then for 2 days after, I'll add the rebalancer to her diet from Adored Beast, and as well as the liver tonic from Adored Beast, and just to protect her system. I did that with Apollo when I had his rabies, and it worked beautifully. I mean, he came home and the day of, he was kind of like, you know, kind of mellow, and just sort of slept all day, which I expected, but otherwise he did perfectly well. And so that's what I stick to.
Good. So there was some funny news from Green Juju. I don't know if you saw this.
I didn't see this. And I'm just like, what?
I'll have to see if I can pull it up because I sort of saw it like by accident in the comments. So somebody was asking about their freeze-dried food. And buried in the comments, Green Juju said that they have a frozen raw food coming out in 2024.
Oh, wow. Wow, they're just going all out.
Yeah.
I wonder if, well, obviously, since they do HPP, I wonder if this will be HPP. And I'm wondering about, well, I'm sure it will be. I'm wondering about the texture of it. Because I really do not like, I don't mind HPP. I could care less. But I do not like the texture. And I'm not eating it, so it really doesn't matter. But I really like I like raw to look like what I make. So I'm curious to know if they're going to do, like, is it going to be similar to like, are they going to put it in the cartons, or is it going to be, what is it, patties, or?
Oh, here it is. Okay. So there is a post from, it says July 20th, where it has like the green juju beef recipe is the photo, and it has like a testimonial. And in the comments, Green Juju says, "We'll be launching frozen raw in the spring, which will be more economical for larger pups. But this works great as a nutrient-dense topper." And I was like, oh my God! Like, I just totally stumbled on this by accident.
Yeah, there it is. "In the spring, which will be more economical for larger pups. But this works great as a nutrient-dense topper." Well, look at that. Hmm. I wonder if they're frozen will be the little pebbles too.
Yeah, I was wondering that, or if it would be like more like a slider or a chub or a nugget. So many options.
Look at that. I took a picture of it. So they can't deny it. So, yeah, but that's pretty cool. It makes sense. They're kind of tiptoeing their way into it. It makes sense, though.
I just thought it was so funny that it was announced like that, because they had this big announcement just about changing the packaging of their goat milk. But then this was kind of like slid in the comments, you know?
On the sly.
Yeah. I mean, wow.
I'm actually really looking forward to Super Zoo, because I'm curious if anyone is coming out with anything new. Because, you know, I feel like after COVID, everything kind of froze. And for me, it hasn't really thawed out yet. I mean, if I feel like, you know, everyone's kind of just sitting and waiting to see. So it'll be interesting to see if anyone else is doing anything new and different.
Well, I was going to say, that's like my assignment for you on my behalf is you know, report on anything new coming out.
I know they usually have like a new product area. So you can go through and see what's new. What's interesting is that I'm never really impressed by it, because one of the things that I don't forget this, but it surprises me every time, is the fresh food community is very, very, very small.
Comparatively speaking.
Yeah, to everything else. And there are so many people who attach the name, like, for instance, they used to have like a holistic natural section, but either they would put it off like in a corner someplace. So it wasn't, you know, people didn't automatically walk by it. So a lot of the quote unquote natural brands, some of them would be like, you know what, I'm not even going to put my booth there. I want to put my booth somewhere where people are going to see it.
So, yeah, more traffic. Yeah. Much as you pay for it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's a Made in America section. So there's no way. It would be nice if I only had to go to one section and see everything, but you still have to walk the entire floor. And they try to have like dog stuff and cat stuff, you know, separate from horse stuff and fish stuff. But again, you still end up having to walk the floor because you need to see everything. But what sucks the worst are the number of people that call their product natural when it's not. In fact, I actually took a screenshot, and I think I'm sure I still have it. I found this article and I took a screen capture, but then I couldn't find the article again. But basically, I'm trying to see if I can find it again. Basically, it was a article written about one holistic veterinarian. I can't remember which, but it doesn't really matter. What caught me was, here it is. So this is, "Dr. Bob was instrumental in formulating the first natural pet foods for such well-known holistic pet food companies as Blue Buffalo." Right?
My eyebrows are, yes, shooting off of my head right now.
Right? I mean, it's like they don't have any problems. They have no problems lying. And, you know, and this is, I mean, misleading people, lying to people. This is the reason why I stopped, you know, having a booth at local events, because I got so tired of trying to find polite ways to tell someone that, no, the kibble you're feeding is not holistic. No, the kibble you're feeding is not all natural. But it was astounding that that was a statement that was put in an article. And I don't know if this was something, because I know that PR companies will write articles and, you know, they want to, because I get emails every day from PR companies that want to offer me a guest post opportunity, and they'll send, we'll research it, and yeah, we'll send it to you, and, you know, and stuff like that. And it's like, no, you're just sending me some crap to promote your client. And so, you know, but they don't have a problem doing that. So I don't know if it was the person who owns the website that wrote that, or if they accepted a guest post, because I didn't read the entire thing. Usually sometimes there's a thing at the blurb at the bottom saying, you know, guest posts are written by or whatever. I just stopped at that part and did a screenshot, and I was going to share it, but then I couldn't find the link again. But it's just like that is basically what you see at SuperZoo. So many people who will try to convince you that their product is all natural. And I've never gotten to an argument with anyone, but I do get into these conversations with people where they're trying to convince me that I should write about their food. And it's just like, and I'll say, I don't write about kibble. Oh, but it's raw kibble. And I was like, there's no such thing as raw kibble. I was like, do you mean freeze dried? And they're like, no, it's raw kibble. And it's like, there's no such thing as raw kibble. And it's like, no, we call it raw because we use all raw ingredients. I'm like, everyone does. In the beginning, all ingredients can be called raw ingredients. It's what happens to it on its way to becoming kibble. So it's like, I don't care if you source your things from one amazing farm that blesses the animals and everything is pure and wonderful. After you did all that work of raising these amazing animals, once you take the food and extrude it down and cook it multiple times and then add back in synthetic vitamins, it's not something that I would recommend that anyone feed to their dogs. And so I'm not the good person to write about. But I've seen people try to convince others that CBD oil, like they're going to come out with a CBD oil infused kibble. And, you know, and it's going to, and it's just like, that's not how it works. And so you learn to walk with blinders on and shut your ears to these conversations, because it's the first day, you're not going to want to do anything the first day. The first day you're just excited to be there, and it's overwhelming. And it's like, oh my gosh, I forgot how great it is. The second day is when, or like maybe the end of the first day or the second day is when my patience is shot. And I'm just, and it's hard not to stop and say, that is not true. That is not how that works. And I am happy to say that I've managed to do that, because I'm worried that they'll kick me out because people have been kicked out of SuperZoo. Like a brand will recommend, like they'll say this influencer or this blogger or whatever is harassing us. And so they'll come and ask you to leave. And you can be banned from coming in the future. So it's not really, it's not the hill I need to die on, right. But it is really hard because there's no rules. There are companies that call their products holistic. They call them 100% organic. They even have the label. They'll even put the leaping bunny symbol on their product. And their product is like, when I was first into raw feeding, and, you know, that whole born again where you're just very passionate and on fire about everything. I would, a company would call and ask me to do a review. And I'd be like, sure, knowing that I was going to blast this company to kingdom come. And I would, I proved that. I can't remember the name of the company now, but I proved that a company lied about their Leaping Bunny certification. And I sent them all of the information and said, this is what's being published tomorrow. And they were like, can you not publish that? And I'm like, no, because you're lying. And it's just like, and I put it all on there. The conversation I had with a rep at Leaping Bunny to say, no, they are not part of this, our system, showed it on the website that they're not on the website, and that they just basically took the logo and put it on there. Same thing with shampoo companies. You can just go and copy the certified organic symbol and put it on your product, and no one out there is checking. How are they going to? It's not like there's a step in the process of getting a product onto Amazon or into a pet store that includes running through whoever, I don't know if it's the FDA or whoever, manages those labels. No one is checking. So that's the hard part of SuperZoo is I would say the bulk of stuff out there, even the stuff that would, that looks natural, isn't natural.
Yeah. A lot of it's just marketing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of a bummer, but I'm still excited to go. I'm so excited. I've learned to just keep blinders on and just go and look at what I want to look at and ignore the rest. But yeah, it's really eye-opening because you see how wealthy the industry is by the booths are just astounding. Like two-story booths with, you know, some of them, this one, I can't remember the brands. It's been years since I've been. There's a brand, they'll have DJs. They'll have DJs and a dance floor. They have happy hours with booze and wine and appetizers. You know, they have all kinds. And then you see these small little brands that spent thousands of dollars for a booth. And it's just like,
everything they had. Versus, yeah, you know,
no one's talking to talk to them because they're next to this super loud thing that's, you know, bringing up, oh, come on in. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's all just fluff and stuff. But there are, you know, I'll come across someone one year, a woman who makes her own collars and leashes. And they were so beautiful. And actually, she didn't make them. She partnered with an Indian tribe in South America.
Oh, wow.
That made them. And it was all women. And so she was helping them build their business. And they got the bulk of the revenue since they were doing the work.
That's amazing.
And, like, yeah, they were so beautiful. But I also have a rule that I don't buy things at SuperZoo unless, like, I'll buy supplements and stuff. If it's stuff that I use, but there are certain things that I do not buy at SuperZoo. And just because something's pretty doesn't mean I need to buy it. And back then, none of my dogs wore collars. So I reluctantly walked away. But this year, if I see a booth like that, you know, because I have two dogs that love their collars, I might. But yeah, it'll be fun.
Well, here's like a little sneak preview I can tell everybody about the Believe in Dog podcast coming up. I think I have her scheduled for September. I have Wolfie's Wish, the founder of Wolfie's Wish. Her name is Erica, and she won the best new product at SuperZoo 2022 last year.
What was her product?
So Wolfie's Wish is grief cards. So you know how people have like card decks? Mm-hmm. She created a like pet loss card deck. And so it's like a 30-day program for every day you pull a new card that gives you like a message of healing after losing your pet.
What an amazing idea.
And so she's fabulous. I have her coming up on the Believe in Dog podcast soon. And I mean, she's like the little person. It's her and her mom who like run this whole company. And they were like the last people to sign up for SuperZoo. And she tells this whole story on our interview. So shout out to Erica and Wolfie Switch.
Great idea. I wish I would have known about that. I would have gotten that for my friend Kathy because she recently lost her dog, Harley.
I remember seeing that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, I love the idea of like being able to give somebody something when you know they've had a loss like that. And so yeah.
That's so cool. Yeah. Oh man. And Bella is almost a year old.
I know. It's all
I think in 2 weeks.
She's such a big girl now.
All legs. Yeah. She's a week and
a half.
That's
what they used to say about me.
A week and a half, she'll be 1 year old. I need to weigh her. I think she's like 55 pounds the last I checked. So I don't think she's changed much. She still doesn't like to go get in the car, but she will get in the car. Like I used to have to pick her up and drag her to the car. Now she'll walk with me just hesitantly and she'll get in the car. Cause she's starting to learn that when we get in the car, we go someplace fun. And so this past week I took them to a dog park and it was empty. We actually were just going to walk around the field that's around the dog park. But since the dog park was empty, I let them go inside and yeah, it was just, they just ran and ran and ran, smelling everything. And then a couple dogs showed up and I was just like, okay, it's time for us to go. But she didn't want to. She was like, I had Apollo, but she wouldn't come. Like, she would come to me, but she was still too far for me to get to because she was just staring at these dogs. And so I was like, okay, go ahead. And I let Apollo go. And they went to go meet the dogs. And then more dogs came in. So they met those dogs. And it was, they were all just fine. And all the humans were visible and present for their dogs rather than on a phone.
Oh, that's good.
And then, but we had already walked around and just the act of sniffing everything wore them out. So I got ready to leave and I let them know, okay, we're leaving. And I was, my biggest worry has always been that they would not leave and I would be that person that's just chasing my dog around to get them to leave. But I just started walking away and Bella was like, oh, well, I'm going with her. And then Apollo kept coming, but then he would see a human and go and say hi to the human. And I was just like, he's really not going to come. But eventually he came running up and I was like, oh my God, thanks for choosing me.
So I'm having this funny thing in my head right now. Tim's grandmother is like a prolific yard sale and flea marketer. And she is like a haggler. And so when she wants something, you know, it's a quarter and she'll be like, I'll give you a nickel. And it's like, and I'm walking away. And so I'm picturing you like in the dog park, like, I'm walking away.
Yeah, so it's like, I can't do this anymore. I want to go home. I'm tired. It's hot. Yeah, because it's been, the weather is cooler compared to the rest of the country, but it's been so hot. Like, and, you know, so I'm getting up earlier in the morning to get them some activity and then we'll go home. And yeah, we came home and Bella was still like, that was fun. What's next? But Apollo just crashed out and slept for hours, but eventually she settled herself down and slept too. But yeah, it's just like, it's so much fun. So I'm going to do a complete left turn in our conversation. And I'm trying not to do this because I talk in run-on sentences, which is so fun when you're editing. But the complete left turn is when my friend Kendra came over, we were talking about dogs. And another friend of mine, he recently had a scare with his dog where he almost lost her, but she had emergency surgery and now she's fine. And one thing that he told me, and Kendra said the same thing, was, I don't know how I'm going to deal with losing this dog because they're getting older. And so now it's a matter of just trying to do as much as possible to keep the dog alive. And this is kind of what got me on that, the supplement rabbit hole. And I recently shared the cancer study that I came across when I was doing some research for an article I was writing. And one thing that blew me away was, well, one, that, like, for instance, lymphoma was more detected pre-senior years. And there's a peak, and I can't remember that, I can look it up, but I can't remember what it was, but there's a peak in age. Because I don't know, have you heard that once our dogs, there's like 1 in 4 dogs will develop cancer, but when they became seniors, it's 50% of dogs develop cancer.
Yes, I have heard that. Like once they're over the age of 10, I think.
Yeah.
It's like 1 in 2. Yeah.
So I was looking for like the source of that and I couldn't find it. And I know I could have found it if I kept looking, but in my search, that's when I came across this study. And it was, what was interesting, and this is something that I've never seen discussed, were the different types of cancer. And granted, this was a limited study on a group of dogs, but the type of cancers that were the younger dogs. So lymphoma was one of those. Then it goes up to, I need to look at the age.
So I'll make sure we have a link to this in the show notes, the exact study. It says age at cancer diagnosis by breed, weight, sex, and cancer type. Mm-hmm. Determining the optimal age to initiate cancer screening in canine patients. And they looked at more than 3,000 dogs.
Yes. Well, anyway, it was what astounded me about the whole thing was the fact that it gave me a little bit of comfort with Rodrigo, because although he is 13 years old, he's probably not going to get lymphoma. I mean, of course, he can get anything, of course, but the chances of him getting lymphoma are decreasing as he gets older, but the chances of other things. So I think, like, when I'm looking, here's the graph, the number of dogs, it's sort of like 7 to 8 years old, 8 to 9 years old, 9 to 10 years old. Those were the highest, and yeah, I guess 10 to 11, those were the highest areas of dogs being diagnosed with cancer. But once it goes to 11 to 12, and then 12 to 13 and so on, the number of dogs decreases. And maybe it's because dogs aren't living that long, but it just sort of made me feel a little bit better about the fact that I got him to 13. So now we're on.
You should be thrilled that he's getting
we're on the straight path. We're pretty good.
I mean, I have no idea how old Penny was, you know, like, that's always the interesting thing about rescues. Like,
yeah,
Lucy, we were pretty sure, you know, she was probably about 12 when she passed. You know, Kahlua, I have no idea. We always thought she was a little older than Lucy, so she could have been like 12, 13. I don't know. Penny, I have no idea. Nino, we think he's about 9 right now, but who knows?
Yeah, so like lymphoma, we have 7 years old, and that was Scout. He was 7 when he was seven or eight. He was 7 and he passed at 8 because Zoe's not, because he was almost 9. And so Zoe's 9 and she's going to be 10 this year. But yeah, mast cell tumor, hemangiosarcoma, those were all younger dogs. And by younger, I mean like right at the start of what you would determine as a senior. So if you're saying like 7 to 8 years old is a senior dog, whereas the older ranges, and again, it's like they say the average as far as diagnosis is still like 10 and 11 years old.
Yeah.
You know, so it's just like, you know, the whole thing was, I don't know, it just gave me a little bit of, I mean, I know that I'm reading into it what I want to read into it, but I'm hoping that it just means that Rodrigo's going to be a miracle and live until he's 20.
Well, yeah, I think everybody should check this study out, because I really like how they broke out the numbers by breed and by age. And I thought they did a really good job of looking at this and giving you all the like visuals and all the different diseases. And
yeah.
Now, there's a lot of, like you had pointed out in your post in the Facebook group, like, well, we don't know what these dogs were eating or, we don't know any of the lifestyle factors. But, you know, for people who are looking at like breed genetic dispositions, I thought this was a good one to look at.
Yeah. I mean, because I do think it's so interesting. I think that even though logically we understand that raw feeding doesn't make us bulletproof, I still think that we think that we're escaping so many things by feeding our dogs a raw diet. But I also think that we have a risk of going too far with our dogs. So we risk over supplementing them and basically putting them in a bubble and protecting them, because we don't want them to have a risk of like maybe being around other dogs, you know, because like even when we went to the dog park, I was just like, oh crap, I should have brought my own bottle of water. I don't want them drinking out of that water. And when I got home, I made sure to put some, you know, like, what is it? Bentonite clay in their food, just in case there was anything in the water. But again, it was so nice to just see my dogs be dogs and just have a nice time in what turned out to be a very safe environment. And I think that is just as important as feeding them a really good diet and, you know, focusing on gut health and getting the right antioxidants in their system. But, you know, there's always still that question of, we can do all of these things. And yes, maybe there's, you know, some science showing the benefit, like, back to vitamin C, the benefits of adding vitamin C to the diet, as far as, because I know for me, when I up my vitamin C in the fall and winter too, but I also try to get my vitamin C from whole foods rather than an isolated nutrient from a supplement when I can. But it goes to how much of this do we need to feed our dogs to really gain the benefits. Because it's just, I remember probably a year or so ago, maybe even a couple of years ago, Dr. Connor Brady posted something on Facebook about tomatoes and how tomatoes can support eye health. And I shared that because I was like, oh, this is really interesting. And I shared it because I remember Destiny White, who is another raw feeder, she would feed her dogs the sardines and tomato sauce for eye health. And she had a dog that one of her dogs had an eye issue. And she said it helped because it slowed the progression of the eye issues. And I was just like, oh, okay. So she mentioned that on social media years ago. And so when I saw Dr. Connor Brady's post, I thought that that was really fascinating and shared it. And someone in the comments was like, yeah, but how much do you need to give your dog to see a benefit? And it was such a great point because I don't know. We're all just figuring this stuff out and guesstimating when we can. So I don't know.
So there's been a couple interesting studies that I've seen over the last couple weeks. So one of them was about, I guess they took like the cancer tumors from people and from dogs and realized like that they're like genetically very similar. And so it can help in like creating cancer treatments for people as well as in creating cancer treatment for dogs. And so I just thought that was kind of cool. So I'll put a link to that one too, if anybody wants to look at that. And, you know, I'm always so interested in like how much we have in common with our dogs, like, but then on the other hand, right, like humans don't get like mast cell cancer or like dogs can't have chocolate. So obviously, you know, there's quite a bit of still like differences in our bodies. But then you see something like this and realize like how much is the same. It's just fascinating to me. I love reading this stuff.
I agree. I mean, and it's just so, I don't know. I'm trying so hard, especially because Rodrigo is older. My friend recently lost her dog. So of course I'm being a complete helicopter mom for my dog.
I understand that.
and Rodrigo will sometimes like, even I did it today and I'm trying not to, like I'm walking around the property with the dogs and I turn around and Rodrigo's just laying down and I'm just sort of like, oh my God, did he fall down or is he just laying down? And I'm trying not to panic. And I realize, oh, he was probably rolling around because there was deer poop. some of my dogs eat the deer poop. Rodrigo likes to roll in it. So he was just rolling around in deer poop. And I just, when I turn around and saw him, he was just laying there. And it was just like, oh, thank God. But there have been times when he, like on really hot summer days, he likes to just lay in the sun. And I'm just sort of like, oh my God, is he dead? And I'm just watching him to see if his chest rises and falls. And it's like, okay, he's just resting in the sun. And it's just like, I gotta stop. I'm gonna end up just driving myself nuts if I don't leave this dog alone.
Yeah, I get that. I mean, I feel like if Nino could talk, he would be like, this crazy lady, now she doesn't have Penny to focus on. She's all up in my business.
I know. It's just like, oh my gosh, what do you want? Speaking of if dogs could talk. Okay, so this is the last thing I have to say. And I will find the link to share in the notes. I found this guy on TikTok, but he does have an Instagram too. And what he does is he finds people's videos with their dogs and he adds a voiceover to it where he's the dog. And if there's multiple dogs, he does the voice of multiple dogs. And he has a partner that's female where sometimes she'll join in and do the dogs. And I've shared a couple of them. But these are so funny that I will sit and just watch one after the other after the other because they are so funny. And there was one where it was two. And this is like one of those things where I'm going to tell the story and it's not going to be funny at all. But it was two small dogs. And this one dog comes running into the room and is like she's tattling on the other dog. And so the person with the camera follows the little dog into the other room and the dog's doggy sibling has like a funnel in his mouth. And so the guy does a voice as if he has a funnel in his mouth. And it was so funny. I mean, it's so there. He does so good. And so I will put a link to that because I have decided that I am going to share one of those videos at least once a day because He has a whole library of them, and they are so freaking funny. I mean, they're so good. I wish that he would voice over one of mine, but my dogs don't do anything. So it's like, I don't do the videos that someone would voice over, but, oh my gosh, he's so clever. And you should find out who he is and get him on Believe in Dog. Because it's just like, why did you do this? How did you come up with this? I mean, it's just sort of like, what, you know, his videos are so funny. And apparently now people are stealing them and putting them on there because, of course, if someone's popular and gets following, instead of being inspired by them, let's just steal from them and pass their work off as our own. Why? Why would I do any work? You know, but yeah, so I do want to make sure that people can follow the real channel because he's so freaking funny.
Yeah, we'll make sure we have a link to that one too. I'll find one. So the last study that I saw that was really interesting was about spay-neuter recommendations by breed and age. And, you know, this is, in my mind, a controversial topic because of, you know, shelter rescue world. But I thought it was really great to see it all laid out like this. And they looked at like risks of dogs developing joint issues and mm-hmm. some of the most common forms of cancer, like lymphoma, mast cell, hemangiosarcoma, osteosarcoma. And of course, now they looked at 29 breeds of dogs. So obviously it's not all the dogs, but yeah. You know, 29 of the most common breeds of dogs. And it was interesting to see that in a couple of cases, they actually said it's better to keep the dog intact, completely intact. I think that was like male Dobermans and like female mm-hmm. German Shepherds. But in all the other instances, it gives you like what age they recommend for the least health issues or whether, you know, it's fine no matter what age. And I just thought this was really fascinating. And I don't ever know, like in my mind, there's like shelter rescue thinking and then there's yeah. like health thinking. And I don't ever know how you can get these things to merge. But man, I wish everybody was looking at this kind of information. And UC Davis Veterinary School put this out, which is a very mainstream medical, you know, veterinary school. So I'm hoping that means that this information will go out to, you know, conventional vets everywhere. But, you know, we hear from the people that, you know, the vets and stuff that we talk to that we don't know how much of that's really getting through to them. But
yeah, I mean, I think that one thing that I find interesting about the study is we're warned so strongly. I feel it's the same with spay and neuter and the same with vaccinations. Within the fresh food community, it's so taboo to vaccinate your dogs and it's so taboo to spay and neuter your dogs too early. Or, you know, people want to wait until your dog is an adult, wait till they stop growing, which, you know, makes sense. You know, for female dogs, some people say spay before they have their first heats. Some people say allow them to have one or two heats, then spay them. So there's a lot of opinions about what we should and shouldn't do. And a lot of times my question is, what exactly is the risk and the percentage of dogs who are at risk? Because I too work in the rescue world. And I can tell you that I have seen puppies, you know, fully vaccinated and then every 3 years spayed or neutered, you know, as a puppy, fed kibble their entire life, and they lived a long life. And I've seen, you know, purebred, you know, reputable breeder dogs that were, you know, well, one in particular in my mind, neutered when he was fully an adult, and he still developed the joint issues that we're warned about with neutering or spaying a dog too early. So it's just one of those where it's so confusing to know. I mean, it's good to have the information, but it's really hard to determine what the actual risk is. And I'm going to say something controversial. I don't think the glandular support supplements will make a difference. because we're talking about glands, you know, that's been broken down from a completely different animal, and we're adding it to our dog's food in a way to make up for the fact that we have spayed and neutered them, and so they're not producing these hormones on their own. But it's going through their digestive system. And I don't know how much of it is being absorbed into their system, and if it's being absorbed in a way that it would really be utilized the same way as if they were developing their own. But I've been giving these supplements to my dogs for years because I have rescue dogs and they've all been spayed and neutered early. And I have not seen any difference between dogs that were not given these supplements. So, and it's not to say that they don't work. Maybe I don't understand. And there's so many other things that we're doing. For instance, I do joint supplements for puppies because they're growing so quickly. And I give CBD oil to puppies because they're growing so quickly. So maybe a lot of the other things that I'm doing pretty much give my dogs the support that they need. But it still doesn't explain why dogs from the same litter, because I like to keep in touch with my dog's litter mates who aren't exposed to a glandular supplement, are experiencing the same, like they're in line as far as, you know, their weight and their height and their health. Right. So yeah, I don't believe that I think it's a great idea, but I don't understand how they could possibly work. I honestly think that, I understand the whole, I understand the point of it, but I just also, for me, the bigger priority is decreasing the number of homeless dogs. So I'd rather support my dog's joint health as they grow up through supplementation and diet than risk unwanted litters.
Yeah, I get that. And I think it's something everybody has to kind of decide for themselves. And I'm so committed to rescue and adopting animals that, like, yeah, I'll have to, I know I'm going to have to deal with it. Like, it's like a known thing. And yeah, we've been trying the glandular supplement with Nino the last several months. I think we're on like our third jar of it. Yeah, I'm not 100% sure that it is doing anything, but I guess I feel like, is something better than nothing, or is it too little too late? Because, you know, he was already, you know, 9 when we started it. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, it's something I want to look into more. And it's just been interesting. I've learned that in Europe, they don't use the same spay neuter techniques. They use the modified techniques, like a vasectomy instead of a neutering, and like the ovary sparing spay, mm-hmm. like the partial hysterectomy rather than the full hysterectomy. And so I've been trying to see if I can track down any like studies or data based on that. Cause that was something that was brought to my attention recently. And I was like, well, I need to dig into that more.
What's also interesting is that in Europe, and I don't know where, but you know, different areas of Europe, and I've heard this just, you know, with social media conversations from people who live there, where they don't have a big homeless pet population or overpopulation or unwanted litters, because people have a different way of handling their dogs. So, and you don't, people haven't turned this into this side gig of breeding. Like, I'm going to start breeding dogs and stuff. That's just not a big thing. So that's one of those things where they don't understand like the whole thing of early spay and neuter, because it's just not something that they have to deal with in their communities, because people are more responsible about dog ownership and dogs aren't seen as a cottage industry to earn an income from.
And something else that I thought was interesting, and I think Steve Brown had talked about this in Albany at the expo, but that European dogs are so much more active than American dogs, that when you look at the FEDIAF guidelines for like what's a sedentary dog in Europe, that like American dogs, that's like an active American dog. Like a sedentary European dog is an active American dog. And so we have to like bring those calorie needs down like even more. We need like a super sedentary like American dog category.
And I'm not surprised at that. You know, another reason why I stopped doing events is because I would see these dogs that look like little Ottomans. And it's so heartbreaking when you know it's like a working breed dog. So when I see a German Shepherd or an Australian Shepherd or a cattle dog, and they look like a little piece of furniture because they're so round and they're so overweight. And I want to ask the question of, you do realize that this is not how a German Shepherd is supposed to look. I mean, you do understand that there's, but you know, I don't know what the health, if there are any health issues going on. I suspect that most times it's just they're not walking their dogs. And to be honest, I don't have any judgment about it. If I didn't work from home, my dogs wouldn't get the walks that they get. I mean, I do have a dog walker too. And I'm lucky to live on land. So if I can't take them somewhere or go on a really long walk, we can just go play outside. And, you know, we can do that for an hour and run around. And we have trails that they can run around on and stuff. So we're very lucky. But I would still love to, you know, when you think about, was it Maggie, the oldest dog in the world? And
right. She
followed her human around the property. I mean, I would love to be able, for my dogs to be, you know, basically getting 15 miles of exercise on a daily basis because they're just following me around the property. You know, that would be ideal. It's just that that's just not what we're seeing here in America.
Yeah, Tim has those like dreams.
Someday. I went and bought my lottery ticket, so maybe I'll.
Oh, I know. We have ours too when it gets that big. That's why we were talking about it.
Because I saw that someone in California won like almost $500 million.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I hope that they do. I wonder what they'll do. Because and it's so funny because it's like, you know, me and my friends will have this conversation and, you know, everyone's talking about what they would do and it becomes my turn. And I was like, I wouldn't tell anybody. I would just quietly change my life, but I wouldn't tell anyone because it's just sort of like, I don't want a bunch of people asking me because I'm also a sucker. So if someone had a really good rescue story, I'd be like, yes, take all my money, save all the whatever, fill in the blank animal. And they're just like, haha, sucker. So I wouldn't tell anyone. So yay, that's all.
All right. Until next time.
See you later, guys.